grandmother's doing very poorly, so please be in prayer in that respect. Remember, we will not have class next Wednesday, next Tuesday, or Wednesday evening. And anything else come up, we need to be in prayer about. Okay. Well, let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes. God has made it very clear, my ways are not your ways. And the way that most people understand the Bible and go through the Bible is from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That is the perspective in which they approach the Bible and many things that happen through life are taken from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, such as the wisdom of Job's three friends. Tonight we're going to be looking at lying. People make a lot of statements about lying. And sometimes when I say things like what I'm going to get ready to say, people construe it to me saying that lying isn't all that bad, and that isn't my point at all. Lying is a sin. But to go to such things as a person who would lie can't serve as president, can't serve as a leader, can't serve in various ways, is a lie. And it isn't going to bear out, it does not bear out with either secular history, and we're going to see some things in Scripture. And there's just so much that we want to understand about lying, and I've really enjoyed the One Another series because it's given us various opportunities to look at some of the things that happen between individuals, and in the positive One Another's, and now in the negative One Another's. Because these are the kinds of things that are common, the things that we have been studying now are common. And we've moved to our 14th negative, and it is lying to one another. We have some places we have never been in our studies of Scripture. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that we lay aside a lot of our flesh thinking, lay aside a lot of traditional thinking, and open our minds, as it were, clean the slate, as it were, in computer language, get out a new file now, and that file will be lying, and right now, it's empty. Let's just see what Scripture has to say about some of these things. So let's prepare ourselves in the Spirit opening our eyes in this study. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves for the purpose of opening up the Scriptures. Father, we are most appreciative for the journey that you've taken us on Wednesday evening, the journey, Father, of our interrelationship with one another. We pray, Father, now that your Spirit will open our eyes, we might see, understand some things here, the damage of lying, what do we do, all these kinds of things that Scripture does give us an insight into, Father. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, 14th, one, lying to one another. And let's begin with our passage. And we always like to start there to see where we are and how we got there. Colossians 3:9. Paul's letter, Colossians 3:9. And you'll notice in the Colossians passage that we're in the midst of a list of things, and then we're going to come to verse 9 in this respect. So Colossians chapter 3, and in chapter 3 we now move to verse 9, and as far as our study is concerned, so just to kind of give you a feel, look at verse 14 in chapter 3. Beyond all of these, put on love. So we're in a long, nice list here of the interrelationship of believers. But verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Again, what we're looking at is the interrelationship of believers, starting, of course, with family, then broaden it from the immediate family, friends, work, social life, and of course in the assembly. And one of the things that we constantly come up against, both from ourselves and from others, is a lie. And this has become somewhat, depending on the, you know, there used to be the ideal of the little white lie, and whatever that was, and those kinds of things, and then the big black lie, and these type of things. And we're going to find out what God has to think about all of this, but let's just take a look. Well, you do not lie to one another. Now, I want to jump to a question that we've seen over and over, but what happens if someone does lie to you? We're going to come to that. The scriptures say, okay, do not lie to one another. Ah, you lied to me, therefore I get to use law against you. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But it does say we're not to lie to one another. Okay, the Greek word. The Greek word means to utter that which is untrue, and you know that it's untrue. To utter that which is untrue, and you know that it's untrue when you say it. One might say something that is untrue, but not a lie, because they were not attempting to deceive or be false. They didn't know. And so in that sense, we're not talking about that. Which the word here means to know that what you are saying is untrue. The Greek word here fundamentally has to do with the ideal of falsehood. It has to do with an attempt by what you say to deceive. And there are a lot of close things that we could look at here. Often we have seen, especially in Isaiah, God often speaks in secret, where he appears this way, but that isn't. In other words, we've talked even about the law. The whole law is if I wanted to say it this way, and I certainly wouldn't, and so many would never even understand what I was trying to say, but the whole law is God's own lie. That's not the way to God. But what we're looking at is that that isn't a lie in that sense, and that it's a secret, and we have a lot of things we need to understand what God is doing. What we're dealing with here is a falsehood. Or as we could say, Jesus Christ answered to the rich young ruler. Why did he tell him, you got to keep the whole law? That's not the truth. That's not the gospel. But what we're looking at is the attempt to be false, and at the heart of the Greek word is the ideal of concealing something bad, like a sin, a crime, and conceal it by lying. I want to do a couple of things here. First of all, let's just get into reasons why we lie. And I've come up with five broad categories of why we lie. And we could really nail it down to three. But let's just do it that way. I think that'll be easier to deal with. The first one is to promote self. And while I'm here, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. To promote self or to promote others. To promote self or to promote others. Last night when I was with the children, we touched on this. Promote self or others. What did you make in math? I made an A. You didn't make an A. But you're in that spot. What did you make on the test? And I made 93. And actually you made 73. So we lie to promote ourselves, or we lie to promote others. I did have these one, two, but we'll just deal with this way to make it simple. The second category is to protect. To promote or to protect? To protect self or to protect others. Second major reason, category of why we lie. To protect ourselves. We did something wrong. Somebody asked us, and we lie. What we're doing is we're protecting ourselves. Or we're protecting someone else. We have lied to protect the spies. We're going to look at some of these things in Scripture. And I hope it puts you into a little different position in dealing with lying. So protect ourselves. We did something, and if it's found out, it's going to be punishment or some type of something that's going to take care of it, some type of punishment, or we're going to get hurt in some way or another. So we lie to protect ourselves, or we lie to protect others, maybe someone that we love. Then there's a third category, and I'm saying these are major. You know, you can come up with some others that you can support and things. That's great. To injure or hurt others. In other words, you lie, they did this. And in truth, they didn't. But you want to injure them in some way. You want to hurt them. They've crossed you or something's happened, and so you're going to lie so that you can hurt them, injure them, cause them some problems in some way. So these are the three basic reasons why people lie. We lie to protect ourselves or protect others, promote ourselves or promote others. We lie to protect ourselves or protect others, and we lie to hurt others. Anybody have anything else? Any major category reasons of why we lie? Well, if you come up with one, let me know. Okay. Now, what happens with a lie, often people get shocked when somebody lies. And, oh my goodness, they lied to me. And so, you know, if somebody's done something wrong, people, why does it shock you that they would lie to protect themselves from it? I'm always amazed that people are shocked by lies. If somebody stole something, why, you know, if we take that as the main thing, why are we so shocked when they lie? We take it very personally, and I'm going to get into that. We take a lie very personally, and we shouldn't do that. But you lied to me. Whoa. I think that the crime then becomes you-oriented and not a lie. When you get so hypersensitive, they lied to me. And we're gonna look into that, how God deals and what his thinking is. But people get very shocked about people who lie. And we make all kinds of statements about people who lie. They can't be used. They can't do this. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. And since you can't trust them, you know, you don't do this and don't do that. People, in your walk in the Spirit, open the Scriptures, and let's take things from the view that we say we believe in. Not broad secular statements about these things. Let's find out from Scripture. And in this journey, I'm going to take you to some great believers who told some pretty big lies to protect themselves, to promote themselves, all these kinds of things. And David, Moses, we're going to look at some biggies in the Bible. And you're going to have to whatever your thought process, you're going to have to yourself, not me. I'll take you through the journey as the Spirit leads me. But you're going to have to go on this journey in understanding about lying and the things about lying yourself and what's going on in Scripture and what's going on with this thing when we lie to one another. Look with me at John chapter 18, moment. Let's just jump into the fire here. John chapter 18. I'm sorry, John 21. No, I was right, John 18. Excuse me, John 18. And what we're going to look at, I want you to look in John 18 at verse 15. John 18:15. And Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple, that's John, the writer of the gospel. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, John, entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, John, who was known to the high priest, notice how John wants to make sure we knew he was known by the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought in Peter. The slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He clearly answered, "I am not. Big lie. Big lie. To protect himself. Verse 18. Now the slaves and the officers were standing there having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and we studied how Satan sets the scene, even for us to lie. People, there's so many things in dealing with a person's life when they lie to you. Get off of taking things personally. Start understanding their soul and what I can do to help them out of it. Okay, having made a charcoal fire, this is all Satan's arranging of the scene. For it was cold, and they were warming themselves. What could be more innocent than that? And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest, therefore, questioned Jesus and his disciples, and then that goes on. Look at verse 25 now. That will leave what was going on between Christ now. Verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore to him, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter therefore denied it again. This is a third lie. And immediately a cock crowed. I want to make it even stronger for that. Look at Matthew's account. John was nice to Peter. Let's see what Matthew does. Matthew's not quite so nice. Matthew 26. John's always nice to Peter, by the way. I'll let you know that in the writings. Matthew 26. Let's look at verse 69. Matthew 26. And we're going to look at verse 69. I want you to see how powerful this is. Boy, people are really... I didn't plan this. I want you to know that. That it would be now. People all like, boy, the president lied and he used profanity in his lying. And, oh, man, it can't be... used by the native, you can't do this, can't do that. Okay, look at verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside of the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it before them all. Make it very loud. "I do not know what you are talking about." A blatant denial even knows Jesus. Verse 71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another slave, a servant girl, saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it, this time with an oath. Whoa! He not only lied to me, he said, "Cross my heart and hope to die." I'm not lying. He had his hand on the Bible and lied in court. Whoa. Well, let's see how whoa it is. People, I'm not making short of lying. I'm trying to give us a biblical perspective of this thing, though. So many Christians get so high horse and so self-righteous, they don't go to Scripture. So this is why I want to take Matthew's account. Verse 72, and I love the way Matthew is straight shooting with us. And again, he denied it with an oath. "I do not know this man. I don't know him." Verse 73. And a little while later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Now, do you see what's happening? It's going on and on and on." We're setting a pattern. These people are not going to let him go. They're not going to drop it. First time, "No, I don't know him." Second time, an oath. And they just keep pressing, and they keep pressing. And this is what happens to people. Look what's going to happen to poor Peter. Verse 73. And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them." I mean, boy, now the fingers are pointing. "For the way you talk, even the way you even talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear. Blankety-blanketed, "I do not blankety-blank, no blankety-blank this man. I don't know him." I mean, people, this is not only a lie. This is a lie with an oath. This is a lie of emotional profanity. I mean, some of you would have just been shocked if you'd have been standing on the side listening to this. Boy, that's it for Peter. That's it for Peter. He began, 74, to curse and swear, "I do not know this man," and immediately a cock crowed. Now turn quickly to John 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Say, people, say the pastor, I lied about taking money out of the church fund. I lied about whatever it be, just lying. Some moral issues, I lied. But people, how can you have a preacher who lies about even knowing Jesus Christ? I mean, we're talking the worst lie that a teacher about Christ could lie. This is the worst lie. This is worse than denying, you know, the biggie, adultery, stealing money, a lot of things that people get upset about. This is a denial, period, "I even know this man, Jesus." We're talking about a lie that is directly related with everything that Peter's life is about. "I don't even know him." The ultimate of all lies. Look at chapter 21, verse 15. John 21, verse 15. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon,'" now this people is just 3 days later. This isn't a month. This isn't 3 years. It's just a few days later. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He answered and said, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." Now we know it is a different word for love. And look what Jesus Christ says to him. "Ten my lambs." Look at verse 16. The end of verse, not verse 16, the verse 16, the end of that, "Shepherd my sheep." The end of verse 17, "Tend my sheep." Wait a minute, wait a minute. You know, Lord, you are Lord. But you can't have this guy going out being a pastor and a shepherd. I mean, this yo-yo denies he even knows you. I heard him. And let me tell you the language he used, Lord. You don't even know the language this guy knows. I mean, he was like a sailor. Oh, he is a sailor. Okay. Like a fisherman. Well, he is a fisherman. Okay. Yeah, this was language from the ship, Lord. And in the midst of all that language, unbelievable denial of you. Over and over and over. Cursing. Throwing a fit out there. And you telling him to go shepherd your sheep? You're telling him to go tend your lambs? You're going to turn your lambs over to this liar? This cusser? What do you think about it? I'm going to show you a lot more. I wanted to start with one strong one that you can't even deny what's going on here. The man flat out lied. "I do not know this man. I'll give an oath I don't know this man. And man, you keep pressing me and you keep making me more and more uneasy. And you show me you're not going to let up. I'm going to get very angry and use profanity and deny even knowing." Vehemently. "Go feed my sheep." That's what Christ said to him. Most Christians, would have strung him up like that. Peter, you better be glad I believe in eternal security. Because if I didn't believe in eternal security, I'd say that when you deny Jesus, you lose it. But since I do believe in eternal security, you're saved, and you better get down on your knees and thank God you're saved, but that's it for you. You might as well go get a road job. You might as well go back to your ship, your little boat, because God can't use you. You are through. 2 days later, Christ says, "Go feed my sheep." Okay. We have to lie to one another. Christians are going to lie. Put that down in your notes. What do we do when a Christian lies? Does my statement that Christians are going to lie condone it? Well, if you take it that way, then you're not listening. You're not listening. But all Christians, great Christians, not so great Christians, are going to lie. What are we going to do when a Christian lies? People, lying is a way that the flesh uses to protect itself. Let's just concentrate on that in a moment. It's a way that the flesh, uses to promote itself. It's what it's going to do. We saw it, a couple of weeks ago with the immune system. We're seeing it here. Lying is a technique or the immune system of the flesh. What is the immune system? The immune system is that which protects me. What is the fundamental characteristic of an immune system? Identification of self. Identification of self. Our immune system to our physical body is essential. We're very knowledgeable on it now than we've ever been in history because of AIDS. We've learned so much about the immune system that is just absolutely phenomenal, the great things that we have learned about the immune system. But of all the things we can say about it is, the most fundamental thing of any immune system is identification of self so that you will know what is an enemy to self. Your immune system of your body has to know your entire body. It has to know when there's something foreign, some antigen, something like a bacteria, a virus, something that's in there that is not you. And when it's not you, it goes after it to protect you. The immune system of the flesh involves, we call them these little T cells, is what they are in the immune system, lying. It feels self-threatened. Threatened. So it's got to protect self. And one way that it can do it very quickly is just lie. If I lie, I protect self. So, or if I feel threatened, because people lie the other way, if I feel threatened in some way, promote self. We've all probably said promoted ourselves a little bit that wasn't quite true. You know, I hear this a lot, you know. I know fishermen here at Mirfield. Everybody hears it at Mirfield. But over in the weight room, you know, this guy said he could lift, 300 pounds. No way. Everybody knows it. But in the midst of around all these guys and these giants and these, hunks and these big old guys, you get a little intimidated, so you kind of promote yourself. Especially if you know they're not going to have you get down on a bench and do it right there. You just ask for mercy. You just say, I do this. You just stretch it maybe 25, 30 pounds, maybe 50 pounds even. That's not a big lie. 50 pounds, 25 pound lie, that's not bad. So, but what you're doing is you start promoting yourself. You want to look a little better. How much you make? I can't tell them I make, So I'll beef it up a little bit. Unless it's the IRS, and then we really, bring it down. But, so we lie to promote ourselves a little bit when we think that needs to be done. If you remember back, or you may have been back to your single days, that's the biggest lie right there, a little self-promotion. When you're talking at a party, you meet some guy or gal, you just, beef it up a little bit. Or to protect ourselves. The self feels threatened. And so it's got to protect. I don't want you to get hurt. So I want to protect you. And then there is the hurting of others. It's not really part of our deal right this moment. This is why sin, a crime, a wrong, whatever we want to call it, it usually will compound itself by lying. This is the way my mother really dealt with lying. That you start with a wrong and you compound it by lying. And that's what we do. We compound a wrong. It's already been done. And we compound it by lying. The whole process is, if I just keep lying and build a lie on a lie and build a lie on a lie, it'll go away. And what happens is, unfortunately, if your parents and people allow that, you get into this habit as a child of lying, and it works for you. But if a parent can show, just keep pushing it all the way to the end and show that it isn't, and it just gets the little kid sweats more and more and more, eventually he learns this isn't going to work. But let's just deal with the concept. This is why we lie. because we're just building on a wrong. Here's the wrong, we protect, so we lie, and we lie, and then we have to lie about the lying, and pretty soon you really have to be careful of when you get into the lying and to protect itself. It is the nature of a lie. It is the nature of a lie to increase itself. In fact, the real deal is to increase itself a tenfold degree. And it has to be backed up by another lie and another lie, or at least a lie that is repeated over and over. Now, why would a person sense the need to lie? Why would a person sense the need to lie? Well, let's just start with a concept of the Moran Act, so I can get to it in ways that you will understand right now. What's the Moran Act? You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say, what? Can and will be used against you. Those words are powerful words. Can and will be used against you. And this is the way most people deal with one another. Not just in the court of law, the Moran Act, but husband, wife, family, friends, church, everywhere where a Christian goes, is you tell the truth, and it is going to be used against you. I've got it in my notes in a categorically studied here, but let me just tell you the example of the difference. One of the most wonderful things about God and the ideal of confession and denial of sin, didn't sin. Why did they deny their sin? Because they were in fear. So they protected themselves. I don't sin. Okay. Why can we confess and acknowledge to God? He's not going to come and get you. He's not going to pound you. The whole deal of acknowledging to God is it's a part of the whole deal of recovery. In fact, in truth, if we understood it, the whole ideal of telling the truth to another Christian is what? For reconciliation. But if you know that other Christian's reconciliation is not their objective, but to crush and to use it against you, you're not going to. And even our own country recognizes the idea that you do not have to incriminate yourself. Christians don't recognize even basic things like that. They want people to incriminate themselves and will force you to do so, try to anyway. But what we're looking at here is the reason we lie. Why would I lie? Why does a person lie? A person lies because it's going to be used against them if they tell the truth. So in life, when the Moran Act is in effect, or it's not stated, but that's how people are going to deal, many Christians deal with one another in a lie. If you're going to deal with me in this deal, here I am, here you are, and if I tell you the truth and you're going to use it to come back down on me and against me and persecute and do all this stuff, then you're probably going to get a lie. Because they're not even, and I'm not justifying it. We're talking about what's going on. Why would a person lie? This person's not going to use the truth in a scriptural way. They're going to use the truth to come down against you. What you use the truth for is you go to a believer in private, you talk to the believer, the believer says, yes, I did that, I repent of that, and it's over, according to Scripture, between the two of you. But you go to a believer, and you're going to use that material against them, and all the rest of it, and to make it, then no, it isn't going to work. The process given in the Bible isn't going to work. Now, on the other hand, people lie to promote themselves, to advance themselves in some way. This is why a lot of reasons why children will lie. They sense the need to promote themselves before their own parents. I just think it's an unbelievable thing that a child that sense the need that if I want love, admiration, respect, praise from my parents, I'm going to have to promote myself, and in order to promote myself, I've got to lie. What a tragedy to do that to your child. I don't feel that what I am is enough. I don't feel who I am is enough. I don't feel my production in grades or football or athletic things or whatever it is, skill things, music, whatever it is, I feel inadequate, and I want love, and I want to be appreciated. And so there is a lie to promote yourself, to get love, to get praise, to get respect from, of all people, your parents, but also friends, precious friends, and impress other children, other people around you. So you promote yourself. Not love, not praise, and a fear of it. And many children grow up lying to promote themselves. Make themselves look really good. Pardon me for a little self thing here. I just love the old lady that reared myself and my siblings. That lady worked the other way. She could care less what happened outside of school, outside of the home. I mean, went home myself and my brothers. Well, I'm president of the class. I don't think you're president of the class at all. You still carry out the garbage and still clean up your own room. You know? No, you don't understand how great I am. You, around here, you're just in the family. We don't really care what you do outside. But I make straight A's. Fine. You ought to know how to take out the garbage. You know, that's the kind of comments you get back. What I'm saying here is that we lie to promote. We lie to protect. We lie to hurt other people. Get even. Make it up, make it a little more serious or a little worse than it was. Or it isn't even there at all, but we're going to make it there. Many people will lie just to injure other people, hurt other people that you're mad at, that you're angry at. So they'll do this. Let me jump to the next one. Why do we not need to lie to God? Why do we not need to lie to God? These are some things I do want to cover tonight, because next week we'll have off, and I don't want you to go home without some of these major concepts. Why do we not need to lie to God? First of all, and fundamentally, He knows the truth. So we just start with that. Well, He knows the truth. Secondly, while we might fear what man will do, we do not need to fear God. You never need to fear in confession, acknowledgement, or being truthful with God. When we acknowledge truth of wrong, it leads to recovery of faith. When we tell Him the truth, when we confess or acknowledge to God out of denial, we're in denial, and we go to the acknowledgement, we don't need to fear God. He already knows, but most important, He's not going to use it against you. You're not going to be judged and have things taken away, even your salvation, like they thought in 1 John. It's all going to be used for what? Recovery, restoration, fellowship, relationship. It's a very powerful, it's a very wonderful thing in not lying to God. We don't need to lie to God. When we talk with others, there's going to be judgment, persecution, all this type of thing. So the flesh learns to lie to protect itself. The people with God, please understand, we don't have to lie to God. There is no reason to lie to God. He is never going to use what we did against us. We don't need to promote ourselves to God. In fact, the more we understand, here's when we realize how low we really are and inadequate we are and how adequate we are in Him. So we don't need to do it for this reason. We leave all vengeance up to Him. We don't need to lie to God. So this is the reason why we do not want to lie to God. The third one, we do not lie to God for promotion. We do not lie to God for love. He loves according to His plan. He promotes according to His plan. So we do not need to promote ourselves by lying to a loving God. We just have an understanding of who and what God is. We do not need to lie to God. Therefore, point four, when we walk by faith, this is what another little subject we dealt with the children last night. We walk by faith, we're going to leave this up to God. I did the sin. I did it. I come to you and I trust you. That no matter what has to happen as a result of doing the sin, you will carry me through here. And your plan and your love and your grace will come through. We can trust Him. We don't need to protect ourselves here. And secondly, we trust Him in the area of any promotion, any blessing that is going to come from God, will come because of His love. So we don't need to do this lying. We trust him. We walk by faith. We're trusting him in this area when we have failed. We're trusting him in the area of promotion. We're trusting him in the area of dealing with others. I'm leaving it with you. I trust you, God. Okay, next step. Why would a believer not lie to another believer? Our subject matter is, do not lie to one another. Now, let's take a look. Why would a believer not lie to you? You're having a relationship with a believer, family, friends, church, social life, work, wherever, social, in your, wherever it is. Why would a believer not lie to you? Why would another believer not lie? What is going to be going on that they will not lie to you? One, because first of all, the person trusts God, even when he has sinned or failed. So he's now in a spirit-filled life by faith, trusting God to work all of these things out to his will, even when he has failed or sinned. Secondly, because he knows, and we'll just kind of make it personal, you, but he knows another believer, but we'll keep it personal. Why would a believer not sin to you or lie to you? Because they know that you will not use the truth to cause them injury, to judge or condemn them, look down on them. But out of your spiritual love, you will help them through the problem. So they're kind of taking it from their relationship with God to you because you're walking in the Spirit. And what's going to come from you is spiritual love. You want people to lie to you, people? Then be like a parent whose children are always living in fear. And the parents are always going to get them. And boy, if they lie, they're really going to get it. And they just walk. Oh, and it just, it's constant that way. They lie because of their attitude of what you're going to do. They'll tell you the truth because they know what you're going to do with the truth. You're not going to slam dunk them. You're going to, out of spiritual love, help restore them, help them through the problem. Even the problem of the sin that has been committed against you or against someone else, they know they can come to you with the truth and out of spiritual love. Instead of judging, maligning, persecuting, we use that word, you're going to restore. You're going to help them. You're going to walk with them and share their burden. So why would a person not lie to a believer, to you? It's because they know that you're not going to use the truth against them. Ephesians 4:15, you just let me read it, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects unto him, who is the head, even Christ. Okay, speaking even the truth in love. So we can come to one another and we don't need to lie. I don't need to lie to you. Why? Because I know what you're going to do with it. I know what you're going to do with the wrong that we're talking about. Instead of lying about this, I will come to you and not lie to you. Why will I not lie to you? But I would lie to another one over here. This one over here is going to use it against me. And so therefore, I walk in the flesh. The flesh takes over. And I've got to do what? Protect. But with you, I don't have that sense of the flesh anymore. I can walk in the Spirit and tell you the truth because I know what you're going to do. So we can kind of, then as we continue in our Christian life, we can kind of be the kind of person that people can come to you and tell the truth because they know what you're going to do with it. You decide what kind of person you want to be. You get to decide how you see God. And that's where you want to be with others. Your view of God is, boy, I'm going to get you if you lie, and I'm going to get you if you tell me the truth that you did something. That's your view of God. My view of God is, hey, tell me the truth, we'll work this thing out together. I feel very sorry for a lot of people of very large denomination. They have this view of God and even of Jesus Christ. Sort of be when they sin, they've got to go to a saint between them and God. They've got to go to this saint. They've got to go to this person. They've got to go to Mary. They've got to go all these people up here because this is their view of God and of Christ. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if you don't know him. He's the one we do come to when we're in trouble. He's the one we run to, not run from. Not fear, not ashamed. We run to Him. This is Christ. This is God, people. How do you see God, and how do others see your view of God? I can't tell them the truth. Look what they're going to do with it. That's their view of God. This is, if you've done it, this is what I got to do to you. As opposed to this view, I'll help you through this whole thing. I'll restore you. Go feed my sheep. Let's get this going. As opposed to this, I've got to go now. I've been wrong. I've got to go to some person or persons, and they're going to intercede for me up here. People, you don't have that. You don't have that kind of God. You don't have that kind of Savior. You don't have that kind of Spirit. That's not the way they function. So why would a believer not have to lie to you because of your view of God, and they know your view of God? 3, but even if another believer will acknowledge the truth and use it against us, the believer walking in faith, trusting God, still does not lie. Even if he knows that the believer is going to use it against him, it still do not lie. So they're walking in the Spirit. Now we're talking because this is when you're walking in the Spirit. When a person lies, we know what? When we lie, we know what? I'm walking in the flesh, because lying is a protection of the flesh. Lying is a promotion of the flesh. Lying is hurting others. So when I'm lying, I know one thing about myself. I'm not trusting Him here. I'm not walking in faith. So a reason that a believer would not lie to another believer is because they are walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. They are trusting God. And therefore, no matter what the other person is going to do about it or with it, they're going to trust God and leave it there. 4, as far as lying to promote self or others, again, the believer walking by faith just trusts God. And therefore, even with you, now watch this, even with you, here you are, doesn't have to lie to promote themselves. You're going to be with them, what? In spiritual love. They don't have to look real good. They don't have to look special. They don't have to earn a certain amount of money. They don't have to have certain knowledge. They don't have to know certain people. You're not into the reputation thing. They're in Christ. That's enough. They're believers in Christ. What more needs to be said? Don't have to lie to impress you. Don't have to lie to be promoted in your eyes. You're who and what you are in Christ. And that's all that's necessary. As it were, just to make an expression, you sit at this table with me because you're in Christ. Not because you're somebody in the world. Not because you have things in the world. Not because of this or that. You don't have to do that with me. And people will know that. Don't have to do that with you. It can be the janitor of the business. The janitor of the whole company. Believer in Christ. It's a relationship in Christ. So people don't have to lie to you because they don't have to promote themselves in your eyes. It doesn't really matter. They have or don't have. They know or don't know. Whatever way we want to look at it, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do those kind of things to promote yourself, because that doesn't impress me. That's what kind of believer you are. So why would another person not have to lie to promote themselves? Because they don't have to do that for you. Now, when they have to, you know that you're in the flesh. So we're just talking about people knowing who and what you are. They do not have to boast. They do not have to brag. Okay. Next. Not only do we lie to one another, but we lie to ourselves. This is really bad. When you lie to yourself. Lie to others and know the truth, at least you're still in the realm of reality. You're just trying to promote or protect or hurt. But, and I haven't emphasized the others. I hope that your mind can make that jump with you. We lie to promote somebody else. We lie to protect somebody else. That just follows through the same type of conversation. Now, when you lie to someone else, at least you're in the realm of reality. You know the truth, and you're still there. Stop holding, we lie to ourselves. Look with me at 1 John 1. 1 John 1. First John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, in context here, to whom does the believer say or claim that he is in fellowship? In regard to context, it's to himself. I'm in fellowship. We're going to see this extending in our next example. I'm in fellowship. And this goes all the way through verse 8 and 9. This is what a believer claims to himself and lies to himself, denies to himself. That's why I understand verse 9 as acknowledging. Just acknowledge to yourself. It's not any big thing to God. Repent to yourself. Acknowledge to yourself. Who do we repent to? We don't repent to anyone. Repenting is something that goes on up here. But you understand what the word means? Metanoeo, change of mind. It's going on up here. Who do we acknowledge? It's all up here. I got to stop denying lying. I did this. This is the first. Why there's no immediate recovery with confession or acknowledgement? It's something that we're doing in our own soul, in our own mind, that is going to lead us to come to Him and trust Him to restore us. But what we're doing is we're lying to ourselves in these verses. So we're looking at the self here. So we lie to self, we claim to self for that which is not true, and we repent to self and we acknowledge to self. If it is a sin to lie to one another, it is a sin to lie to one another, but people, it's just unbelievable deception when you lie to yourself. The damage is unbelievable to what you're doing to your own self. In fact, these people will never get to faith recovery if they deny constantly that they are even in sin. Now, so here's a believer in our verse 6, who claims that he is in fellowship. And people, it's so easy to claim that you are in fellowship, that you're walking by faith, the James problem, all these types of things, but in reality, you're not. And just because a believer claims that he is in fellowship, people get this very clear, does not mean that he is in fellowship. First, he may not even know how to be in fellowship. He's still trying to do it by work, something that the flesh says or does. So he doesn't know how to be filled with the Spirit. Secondly, there's a case where the believer claims that he is in fellowship, but his attitude toward another believer assures that he is not. This is the whole thing with John. You claim you're in fellowship and you hate and you're bitter towards somebody else. You're lying. You're not in fellowship with God if you carry hate and anger, bitterness towards somebody else. It's not going to happen. But of course, the believer who claims that he is in fellowship so that it will justify to himself and to others his attitude and actions. You always want to be careful of this one. I am in fellowship. I am in the filling of the Spirit. And therefore, what I'm going to do to you and what I'm going to say to you, I'm doing in the power of the Spirit. It's a great lie. It's going to lead to our next deal. So, we lie and do not practice the truth of what really is going on. Now, all I'm going to have time to do is whet your appetite for what is going to be a really super study, maybe in just 1 hour, maybe two, a couple weeks from now, and that is lying to God. We can lie to one another. We can lie to ourselves, lie to self. We can also lie to God. And for this one, we're going to study a powerful passage that we've not looked at and has a lot of questions in it. So let's at least whet our appetite and get ready for looking at it. Look with me at Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 5. The book of Acts, chapter 5. Okay, let's read verse 1 and following. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife, along with, so he's part of this whole deal, along with his wife, Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. So both are involved. We have an Adam and Eve thing here. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Wow, that verse takes us right into the spiritual warfare and really is going to help us understanding lying to God. But let's continue reading. Verse 4. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? The property's yours. After it was sold, was it not under your control? The money's still yours. Go have a party with it. Do whatever you want. Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Note here the relationship of conceiving, deceiving, and lying. Verse 5, as he heard these words, Ananias fell down, breathed his last right there, and great fear came upon all who heard it. Okay, let me give you some big questions. Those of you who are taking notes. One, and we're going to, this is what we'll do 2 weeks from tonight, is answer these questions, but I'll give you some time to look at the passage and know some things. One, do we have to give all to the Lord? Do we have to give all? Two, how does Satan fill our hearts? How does Satan fill our hearts? Note what he says in verse 3. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? How does Satan fill our hearts? Next. Why is this a lie to the Holy Spirit and not to man? Why is it a lie to the Holy Spirit? Next, how do we lie to the Holy Spirit? And then another big one, why this? Seems a little drastic for something that's not really a capital offense in our normal sense of thinking. A pretty drastic thing. Why death? Does everyone who lies to the Holy Spirit drop dead? No, you and I know that. Doesn't happen. People lie to God a lot and don't just die right there. But we a lot of people die in a lot of funny places. But that this doesn't happen. So why death here? So we're going to take a journey here and note, do we have to give it all? How does Satan fill our hearts? And in fact, we could also add, why does he do it? Because that's what Peter asked, and that's the answer we're going to look at. I'm not going to sidestep this. This is a beautiful passage. So how does Satan fill our hearts, and why does Satan fill our hearts? And next, why is it a lie to the Holy Spirit and not to man? It seems like he's lying to man. Because he's saying, I gave all. Everybody, my name is Ananias. Here's my lovely wife, Sapphira. and we sold our property and we're giving all. Lying to man, isn't he? Because you're not lying to man. But I know Christians would have said, you lied to us. Peter's very clear. You didn't lie to man. You didn't lie to man at all. You lied to the Holy Spirit. So we want to look at how do we lie to the Holy Spirit? And then finally again, why death? Seems a little drastic, and we need to look at why. Now, if you're going to look at this between now and 2 weeks from now, two Wednesdays from now, let me encourage you to go back to the previous chapter, chapter 4, and begin reading in verse 32. And that'll kind of give you a deal of what's going on with Ananias and Sapphira. And then we will come through and just have a lot of fun and leave that. But right now we'll leave Ananias lying on the floor dead and come back next 2 weeks from now and find out how he got there and why he's there and how do we lie to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, people. I'm going to close with this. Many, many Christians who wouldn't think of lying. They wouldn't think of doing big sins, but they wouldn't think of doing big lies either. Their life is a lie. Their whole life is a lie to the Holy Spirit. They would not lie to man in our normal sense of the word lie, but their whole Christian life is a lie. And they remain dead spiritually the whole life on earth. Because they're lying to God. Now, I'm just giving you a big clue to a lot of what we just saw. All right, we'll start here too from now. Let's close in prayer. Well, Father, we come once again to that most wonderful place of just trusting you. For the more, Father, that we learn to walk by faith, we will not have to lie to protect ourselves or promote ourselves or to hurt others. So, Father, what a wonderful place you have brought us. Not with the working of the flesh and the will not to lie, but just to trust you. And then there's no need of a lie. What a wonderful God you are, Father. What a gracious, loving God. We trust your love. And therefore, we don't have to lie. The flesh would like to be more than it is. We don't have to lie before you. The flesh would want to protect itself, but there is no fear where there is love. So, Father, how appreciative we are for the God that you are, that you have given to us a life where we don't even have to lie. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.